Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Please help us as we break the word of God, the bread from heaven. Jesus said that his word was truth. And Heavenly Father, we want truth. We want to know what thus saith the Lord is. Please speak to us today. Please help me to preach and give understanding to those that are listening. And we give Jesus Christ all the credit, all the glory and honor. And in his wonderful name, Lord, we pray. Amen. These two men, these angels, they said, just as Jesus had rose up into heaven, "Why are you looking up there?" Yeah, that's where he went, into heaven. But he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. Just like he went up into a cloud, he's coming back. In another place it says that every eye shall see him. There's not going to be any guessing, did Jesus come back? He will come back. In glory, in power, he will come back. I want to look at a couple of things. The ascension and the promised return of Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." The blessed hope. I'm looking forward to the return of Christ. To me, it's a hope. To me, it's a blessed hope. It's a good thing. I know that I'm a Christian. I can tell you the day and the hour, and have said and will say again, November 30th, 1984, at about 1:45 in the afternoon, in my dorm room at LSU, I want to say it was room number 221 or 223, I forget which. I can't tell you what I was wearing, but I can tell you everything that went on. I know that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He set me free from drugs. He set me free from the bars. He set me free from a bunch of stuff. He changed me, and I've lived for him ever since, and I can't wait for him to come back. It's a blessed hope. But Acts chapter 17, verse 31, it says that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised them from the dead. There's a day of judgment coming, that the entire world will be judged for the things that they've done wrong, for participating in the world system, for going along with the crooked politicians and their schemes, for believing that, hey, in the 21st century, we don't know what bathroom to go to. I'm sorry, but that's evil. That's wrong. It's wicked. And Jesus will return and judge those things and many more. You say, well, how do you know he's coming back? Well, it says the fact that Jesus rose from the dead proves the other claim that he's coming back. He's coming back. Again, I'm looking forward, but if you're not a Christian, there's nothing to look forward to. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. It says, and they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Fall on us, rocks, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But if you don't avail yourself of that, when he comes back, all you've got to look forward to is judgment. And this time in Revelation, during the Great Tribulation, people will say to rocks, please fall on us and hide us. We're gonna crouch underneath this rock that's fallen down on us, and maybe he won't see us. Well, good luck, but God sees everything. But back to the blessed hope. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. The believer, one that is a disciple of Jesus Christ, one that loves the Lord, believes the Bible, loves it, and says what it says, I want to apply to my life. A disciple. It says that when Jesus comes back, he's going to give us a crown of righteousness. The believer gets a reward, but only the believer gets a reward. The sinner gets nothing. But those that are looking for God, waiting on God, wanting God in their lives, and are looking and love his appearing. Not, oh, mountain and rock, fall on me and hide me, but, oh, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Those that love his appearing, they'll have a crown of righteousness, a robe of righteousness, it says in Revelation. As we go on today to study in John chapter 14, that it says that there's a mansion waiting for us. But you've got to live for Jesus Christ. You've got to live for him. You've got to follow him. You have to purpose in your heart that, let's see what the Bible says, and Lord, help me to do it. We used to sing an old song, keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I believe it was John that said that if you have that hope in you that he's coming back, it'll purify you. You'll want to live holy for God. You'll not want to be caught in sin or in the bar or in somebody else's bed or anything like that. You're going to want to live right because, hey, he's going to come and I don't want him to catch me doing wrong. And okay, fine. I know I sound like somebody from 100 years ago. I know that I sound like somebody that has lost touch with reality. I understand. I get it. But just because the world has gone its own way, just because changing genders is, hey, I can be a man one day and a woman the next day and whatever, just because the world says, hey, do what you want, believe what you want, live the way you want, I don't care what the world says. I know what the Bible says. And he's coming back. And you need to be ready. You need to be ready. You know, just thinking about that, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that we're taught that gender doesn't matter. We're taught that sex doesn't matter. We're taught that, hey, maybe you don't have to go have an operation to change what kind of plumbing you have. You could just tell people that, hey, I want to be something else, and they're supposed to play along with it. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. God made a male and female. And that's still true. I mean, duh, obviously. That's ridiculous to think that because we're enlightened, we can change biology. That's just ridiculous. But let's get back to our study. John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says this. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You believe that God exists. You believe that God wrote the Bible. You believe all this stuff, fine, but believe in Jesus Christ. And as I said earlier, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Hey, you know, if there ain't no place for you to live up there, I would have told you. But he says, I go to prepare a place for you. We know that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. We understand all of that. We understand that. You can read in the Gospels, for 3.5 years he preached and healed the sick and rebuked the Pharisees and all of this stuff. But he went to the cross and he died for you and me. And he rose from the dead. Praise God. He died for our sins and rose again, it says, rose again for our justification. In Acts, we just read that Jesus went up to heaven. But he's coming back. He's coming back. But in the meantime, in heaven now, today, he's preparing a place for us. And if I go, he said, I'm going to go to heaven. And he did. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He said, if you want to follow after me, you have to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me. It costs to live for God. It costs to live for God. Fine, you can sit in church. And that's fine. You can hide in church. Go every Sunday, that's fine. But if you live for God, if you quit sin, if you stop going over there to the bars and stop drinking and stop whatever, then you're starting to rock the boat a little bit. Then people get a little upset. And heaven forbid you start telling people, hey, you need to live for God too. Then you've really done it. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I remember when I first got saved, I started telling people, hey, this happened to me. I found God. I didn't know what to say, but I began to tell people, hey, I'm a Christian now, and I lost, in a couple of weeks at LSU, lost every one of my friends. That next semester, nobody wanted to talk to me. If you live for God, you'll suffer. Your family will get tired of hearing it. They'll tell you to shut up, or, hey, we're going to have a holiday, whatever, we're going to have dinner, whatever. All the cousins are going to be there, but hey, why don't you not come? You understand? It'll cost you to live for God. But he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. If you live for God, God will take note. And when he comes back and he begins to reward those that live for him, if you've suffered for him, I don't understand what's going to happen. It says a crown of righteousness, a robe of righteousness. I don't understand. We're going to have to wait till I get there to understand all what he gives us. But there's an extra, some sort of reward if you've suffered for him. He says, I'm going to come again. And when I do, I'm going to receive you. You suffered for me. I'm going to receive you unto myself. And probably just that is worth more than any other reward we could get in heaven. Being counted one of the Lord's. Being on his team. Being able to sit with him. I will receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. But then he goes on, and the very next phrase, it says, and whither I go ye know, and the way you know. Where I'm going, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. And the way I get there, I've been telling you that they're going to nail me to the cross. I'm going to suffer and bleed and die. You can go to heaven. But you have to trust in the one that suffered and bled and died for your sins. Heaven is precious. The things of God are precious. The comfort that God gives is wonderful. But it cost the life of God's Son. And not only that, it'll cost you. Again, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go to the cross, but he said, if you want to follow me, you got to take up yours too. And a little bit ago, I did talk about suffering. But in verse 5 here of John 14, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going to go. And us not knowing where you're going to go, how can we know the way that you're going to choose to get there? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. Yes, he went by the way of the cross. And thank God for the cross. Thank God that our sins were nailed to that cross. Thank God that our sins can be forgiven. Thank God. But our focus must be on the I am the way. Our focus must be on Jesus Christ. Our focus must be on the Lord. You can talk about this doctrine. You can talk about that doctrine in the Bible. You can talk about many things. The Bible does talk about many things. And the way of the cross is a central theme of the Bible. There's no question about that. The cross is important. Because without Jesus dying on the cross, there would be no forgiveness for sins. But our focus is on the one that died on the cross. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We need to look to Him. We need to look to Him. We need to look for Him and for His return. We need to live for Him and trust Him. We have troubles in life. Let's take them to Jesus. We have struggles. We have sickness in our family. We have any number of things. Can't get a job, got laid off, whatever, fired, can't pay the bills. Let's look to Jesus. He is able. He can help. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look to Him. Believe in Him. Follow Him. Depend upon Him. And as this program closes out, every time you hear it, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Take your burdens to Jesus Christ. Bring them to Him. Lay them down at His feet and said, Lord, you take care of that for me. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise or no way cast out. Look to Him. Live for Him. Bring your problems to the Lord. Ask Him to help and believe Him. And just watch what Jesus can do for you.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back at Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will it soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries away all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.